Let's get started.
Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Father God, that you empower me, you enable me to speak the oracles of God. Lord, that anything that is not of you, that it will just fall to the wayside, but that which is of you will find good soil. And so, Lord Jesus, we just commit ourselves to you today. Speak into our hearts today, and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. So, deeply rooted is the title of my message, and our scripture is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And starts off, this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul prays over the church in Ephesus. And I'm just going to start with it a little bit further in from verse 17. It says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, this doesn't happen in isolation. This happens in community, it happens in family, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What an amazing scripture. So he says here, starting off, he says, rooted and grounded. Now, all throughout the word, we see so many analogies, which we did over the summer season. Remember when we spoke on the fruit of the Spirit, that our lives are a garden, that he is the vine, we are the branches. All throughout the word, he talks about breaking up the fallow ground. He talks about sowing seed. I mean, the analogies, always mostly horticultural, agricultural terms. And I love that because I enjoy gardening. I love plants and trees. And Fernanda and I have this thing in common. We love trees. All the way down to the getaway, look at those trees there. And look at those colors there. We were just falling in love with the English countryside all over again. But so throughout the word, though, and God speaks to us as if we are these plants. He says, you must be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded. So these analogies are used to describe, give a deeper understanding of a biblical principle, a better understanding of biblical truth. So we're going to just look at that word, rooted. So now, lately, we've been practicing some Greek words, right? How are we doing with our Greek? We're doing good? Yeah, no, a couple of heads shaking, no. Yes, a couple of little nods, yes. Well, we're going to learn a new word today. Rooted comes from the Greek word riuzo. So, it sounds Italian. That's what happened at the getaway. Okay, everybody said riuzo. Riuso. And when you say it, it starts becoming Italian. Riuso. I don't know why. I'm sure it's Italian. Riuso. Huh? Riuso. But we get the English word rhizome. What is a rhizome? Good question. Rhizomes are these underground horizontal stems that store nutrients and enable plants to survive unfavorable seasons. So when we moved into our house that we bought 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago, this garden was well manicured, looked really good. But after a little while, we saw these little things popping up, and they kind of became a little bit rampant. It's bamboo. Bamboo has a rhizome. What's the Greek word? Riuso. Riuso. Right. Riuso. Riuso. You've got to do the hand movement. So these bamboo, they are invasive. So we moved in springtime, these things popped up in the summer. I thought, wait, we try to get rid of these things. They just started flourishing. They just started flourishing. They become invasive. So we thought, okay, watch out, bamboo. Winter's coming. Winter's going to get you. You're going to die. Guess what? So winter came. The thing carried on thriving. It just carried on. So, okay, you've had a little bit of a dormancy. Wait, spring's coming. Spring's coming, and then summer, that overbearing heat that we suffer from in this country for about 2 days. That summer, this heat is going to singe that little sucker. It thrived. It just carried on thriving. Eventually, we had to take the secateurs and cut this thing off at the ground level and let it carry on growing underneath the ground for as long as it wants to. We just keep cutting it off at the surface. That's the only way we can get rid of this thing. Otherwise, it just forms these massive clusters. And it looks pretty, but it's invasive. So, but the point is that the foundation for that bamboo is that the rhizome stores nutrients and it enables that bamboo to thrive even in unfavorable situations, unfavorable seasons. So, what's this got to do with my message? Everything. Okay, you thought I was going to say nothing. But this is what the love of God does. If we are rooted and grounded, like that scripture says, in the love of God, that love of God will reuso us. That love of God will sustain us, will strengthen us, will feed us in the midst of the difficult seasons of our lives. Okay? And I love the end bit of that scripture from Ephesians 3. He says that you may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So if something passes knowledge, he says that you should know the love of Christ, that you may know the love of Christ. That word for know is the same word used to describe intimacy between a husband and a wife. So in other words, that you may become deeply acquainted, deeply intimate with the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's almost a contradiction, but what it's saying is it passes knowledge. It doesn't just stop with knowledge. It becomes experience. That you may experience, that you may know and experience the love of God with that deep intimacy. Because what happens when we know and experience that deep love of God is it builds confidence in us towards God. That even when I mess up, he doesn't wink at sin, but even when I mess up, his heart is still for me. He doesn't throw a hissy fit and walk out the room. His heart is still for you, even when you mess up. And that empowers us to trust him more. I don't know about you, but it empowers me to trust. It helps form a foundation of faith in my life that I can trust him more. I can trust him more. So, what I also wanted to add there was that you may be filled. That you may be filled. The reason for the purpose of being rooted and grounded in the love of God is that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Pause. You know, we read these things and we're like, yep, amen. No, pause. Think about it. That you, child of God, may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? His character, his power, his love, his attributes, his mercy, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You know what I've just realized? I haven't only just realized. I've known this for some time. You know what? less of me is so much better, more of God. You know, like John the Baptist, I must decrease. We sang it about surrendering all. It's about surrender. That's what the Christian life is. It's surrender. It's constant surrender to his ways, that I may know him, that I may know him so much better than I do, but less of me, more of him. So as we're just going to unpack this a little bit and see, are we rooted and grounded in the love of God? And I just want to give a little bit of background to part of this message in my own life. And it was about a year ago, so I have to go and attend all these AOG forums to prove that it's okay for me to lead a church, apparently. So I go almost every second month to these forums. And they're always up in the north somewhere, where the bamboos also thrive up there. And so I have to go and attend these forums. And they're quite intense, and they're quite, you know, they're very intense. And the one day, the whole day thing, was we were hearing from a woman called Julie Keir. She was really brilliant. I'm sure she will have podcasts somewhere. And her and her husband lead a church. But she was teaching and sharing about hearing about how the branches of our lives are dependent on the roots that we are grounded in. So she spent a whole day sharing on this stuff. Now, I've heard this kind of message for over 33 years. I've heard about it. I've thought, yes, okay, I've studied about it. And I've thought, okay, I've heard this. I've made some notes, though. Still want to grow. I'm still learning. But, you know, she gave the analogy of I'm the vine, you're the branches, you know, about bearing fruit. Whatever we rooted in fuels our branches. And I thought, it's okay. I've heard this. I'm okay. And so what happened was, in the session, they called up somebody who could play a keyboard beautifully. And this guy started tinkling away on the keyboard, setting that beautiful mood music. You know, they said, okay, now we're going to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak into our lives, to see what are we rooted in. And I thought, okay, oh, this is good. I know I've got some issues, some stuff that I'm going through. I know that there are some challenges in our lives, that stuff that we were facing. But, you know, I'm okay. My foundation is secure. And so I thought, this is for people that haven't heard this message before. Was I in for a shock? So this guy starts tinkling away on the ivories. And the next thing, and so, okay, Holy Spirit, have your way. And just like that, I got one word from God. Just like that, it came like a bolt out of the blue. And the word was disappointment. And so I won't go into the detail about the disappointment, but the word, it was so strong. It was so clear. And the point I want to make is the clarity with which God spoke to me. And I'm nothing special. I'll just put it, I am nothing special. I don't hear, you know, I wish I'd had a better, you know, ear to heaven and heard more, but I'm just, I have to walk by faith as much as anybody else. You know what I'm saying? But it was the clarity with which this word was spoken into my heart. And I'm believing for God to speak into everybody's life here today. That's where I'm releasing my faith, that everybody here today, you're going to have a word from God. He's going to speak so clearly into your heart. You know what? Like Jonah, he tried running from the presence of God. We're not going to run from the presence of God. We're going to run to him. We're going to run into his hand, into his heart. So I thought, yes, okay, there's these situations in my life, but I didn't know that, yes, I'd gone through some situations, I was in the middle of some situations, and I didn't know what lay ahead. But God did. He knew what lay ahead. And so he was interested in my past, he was interested in my present, but he was also interested. He knew what lay ahead, and he knew that in the months ahead, everything was going to compound. It was a bit like compounded interest that this was going to happen. So at times, I just want to say this, that at times, sometimes we can think we're somewhere in the Lord when we're not. And it takes humility for us to recognize, where are we in God? Where are we in God? Are we giving him first place in our hearts, in our lives? Where are we? You know, and the very important issue as well is that God doesn't point out things in our lives to name us and shame us, to bring condemnation, to say, oh, you worm, Sandy, you useless souls. No, those are not God's words. But he doesn't say, disappointment, now I feel terrible. No. Now he's got a place to work with me. Now that I've fessed up, kind of thing, yes, Lord, there is disappointment in my life. But he can now start building. He can start restoring. He can start doing a work in my life. And the same for every child of God. So, our branches are often fueled by events that take place in our lives. And you know, you think about life throws all kinds of things at all of us, hey? Every single one of us. Whether it's sickness, a betrayal, maybe it's parenting issues, maybe, you know, it can be a challenge. Being a parent can be a challenge. Maybe you've experienced loss. It's a bereavement, grief, a breakdown in a relationship, financial pressure. I mean, the list goes on and on. Maybe a divorce. You know, and as a result of these challenges that we face, we go through all kinds of emotions. Oh, we feel sad. We feel guilty. We feel bereavement. We feel anger, maybe, resentment, disappointment. There we go, there it is. Unforgiveness, bitterness. These are all things that come as a result of life's challenges. And these life's challenges can cause us to start thinking, well, what's wrong with me? You know, I can't cope. I feel so terrible. Or why did this happen? What's wrong with me? Or I don't know what to do. It's almost like you reach a cul-de-sac. I don't know what to do. And we start thinking these thoughts. And the Bible is clear. It says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. So if you're going to start ruminating, thinking about, recycling that challenge, that issue, as a man thinks, so is he. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Suddenly you start feeling depressed. Suddenly you start experiencing all these different other deeper emotions, and even affecting your behavior. Your behavior starts acting like a pendulum. You go from under-eating to overeating, underperforming, overperforming, at work, at home. Don't care. I'm just going to leave my house in a total mess. Don't care. Just don't care. Or perfectionism. I've got to clean from top to bottom. This is how it affects us. It can cause us to withdraw from people or go and have a party. I'm going to just lay it all out there or withdraw. But pendulum, our behaviors are affected. We adopt coping mechanisms, put up some walls. Even our core beliefs can be challenged. Why did God let this happen? If God is so good, then why did this happen? These are things that actually happen. You know, does God really love me? You start questioning things like this. So I just want to, this is an old saying, but I realize it hasn't been said for a long time, and it needs to be. Sometimes we need to just go and revisit some older stuff. But our thoughts become our words. What you're thinking starts becoming your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become habits. Your habits form character. That's who you are. From an event can have such a profound impact on our lives. It can have a huge impact. And sometimes we're unaware. Other people can see it, but you might be blind to it. You might not realize it. But the branches on the outside start saying, what's going on the inside? Just, okay, what's that? I believe that everyone here today, you all have a desire to be deeply rooted in the love of God. But my question is, are you deeply rooted or are you entrenched in something else? Are you entrenched? So what's the difference? So to be entrenched is when you're stuck to the spot. When when you're stuck to the spot, you're incapable of growth. You can't grow. And you're unlikely to change. You start thinking, well, this is the way I am. Take it or leave it. This is the way I am. This is the way I am. Unlikely to, that means you're entrenched. You're entrenched. No, God, throughout the scripture, he says, we are rooted and grounded. We need to grow up into all things in Christ. The Christian life is about growth. From the day you get saved until you go home to be with the Lord, the journey doesn't end. In fact, I feel personally that I have grown more in the last year than I have in the last decade. That's personally in my understanding of who God is. And I've been saved for 33 years by the grace of God. But I feel that it's like just God is accelerating things. That's just me personally. But if we're entrenched, we've stopped growing. Have we stopped growing? Or are we rooted? When we're rooted in the love of God, it inspires faith. It inspires faith and causes us to desire greater understanding of God, of who he is, a greater understanding. We go into new dimensions or frontiers of God. Nothing outside of his word, nothing outside of who he is. We're not going to start doing crystals and hugging trees and things like that. But who does he say he is? Who does he say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've loved you with an everlasting love. This is who God is. This is who God is. So, how do I know if I'm entrenched or if I'm rooted? Good question. Sometimes we can be so entrenched that we become comfortable reliving that conversation, that event. You start reliving it. You start speaking about it. Even though it caused harm, even though it caused devastation. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I know I don't know what they did to you. But every time you're reliving it, you're speaking about it, you're establishing this thing in your life. You're becoming entrenched in that event. This is not the way God wants us to be. He says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. And I know he's talking about the law, but I believe he's also talking about behaviors, strongholds that we have in our life, in our lives, strongholds that need to come down. You know, that event, that thing can become so familiar in our lives that it becomes lodged in our hearts, that we start identifying ourselves with that event, with that thing, whatever it might be, the divorce, the breakdown in a relation, whatever it might be. We start I am a divorcee. I am, and the guilt and the shame that comes with all this stuff. I am this, I am that. No, we start identifying. It becomes familiar. It becomes comfortable. This is who I am. And as a result, we become our own persecutors. We become our own torturers. We're reliving it. You don't need the devil. We're doing the work for him. We just start reliving it. We start talking about it. Be willing. If you're in that place, this is not meant as a condemnation, okay? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. But I want us to be willing to let go of that pain, to let go of that comfort of our discomfort, the comfort of having that discomfort. I remember somebody I knew some years ago. She had some really, really bad health issues. They became her. She became this person. So much so that during COVID, she had a mask specially made that said, I am with her disease on, the sickness on. She identified so much with it, it became part of her. It was all over her. That's to the extent that she wore this mask, and it was a literal mask. But I think sometimes we want to remain in our pain when we've experienced a hurt, because the thought is, well, the thing is, if I step outside of this trench, what if I get hurt again? What if someone says the same thing again? Can I trust people again? No, if I can't, then I need to protect myself, and up come those walls. Up come those walls. And we're going to keep people out. We're keeping God out. We're keeping others out. I tell you what, my life this weekend was so enriched from engaging with women of like faith, people that have little faith, people that have great faith. It was so enriched. I want to encourage us as a church. We want to create connect groups in this church. It's a passion of ours. We want a connect group. We want not just one, we want two. It's part of our vision for next year. We want a connect group. It's essential. We cannot do life just together on a Sunday. So I want to encourage you, get together during the week. Contact each other, phone each other, text each other. Engage with one another. At the end of the service, yes, we need to pack away, but hang around. Talk to someone. Talk to someone, even if it's scary. You know what? You'll be surprised how unscary people are. They're not scary. They're wonderful. They are wonderful. These are your brothers and your sisters in this build, in this room. But be willing to step out of that trench, that stronghold. Listen, I read this week, and I still don't know what version it is. So I'm going to call it the RSV, which is the Revised Sandy Version. And it says this from 2 Corinthians 10. Listen to this. It says, and it's a well-known scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Listen to what it says in the RSV. But powerful by God for overturning strongly entrenched things. The power of God, the love of God, is able to overturn strongly entrenched things. That which you are strongly entrenched in, God can release you from it. God can release you from it. He is powerful. You know what I realized this morning? I just love this, because I've been meditating on Ephesians 3:17 to 19. Do you know what verse 20 says? We all know it. We can quote it. Hallelujah. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? According to the power that is at work in us, that we can do, God can do, through the power that is in us. But why? Because the verse before that, it said that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You can be filled with the fullness of God. Get out of that trench. Get out of those shadows. Get away from behind that wall. Just now to him who is able to do. We don't have to do it by our own strength. We don't have to do it by our own might. We do it by the power and the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Where am I? So what are we rooted and grounded in? I'm going to just briefly touch on what we're rooted. what we need to be rooted and grounded in, the love of God. We've shared this non-stop. Pastor Chris, over the months just before summer, he was sharing on the love of God, the love of God. And I tell you what, it was in the midst of the most difficult situation that we have ever been in. But we got, we just got this revelation on the love of God. I would just sit at times, I'd sit like, Lord, don't know the way out, don't know the way forward, don't know what's going to happen. I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. But just get in, just start thinking when you're in the midst of the trial, the midst of the storm. Don't even go, I love you, Lord. Just say, oh, just think about God's love for me. God's love for you. God's love for you. So we're going to look at it briefly. 1 John 3, verse 1. And I know we've heard this before, but don't shut down. Stay with me. Okay, eyes up. Everybody awake. Yeah, I can see those eyes. Yes, praise God. But listen to this. Behold, see, look, hold. Actively looking, not passively. Do you know what it's like when you're in a room and someone, you're talking to someone, you can see out the corner of your eye, oh, so-and-so's arrived or so-and-so's just left or whatever. That's passive. Or you're just looking at a room. That's passive. No, this word, behold, says see it with your eyes. Look at it. Examine it with eyes wide open, as if looking at something remarkable, because that's what it is. If you could try and picture the love of God, picture the love of God. I don't know how you do that, but just picture the love of God. How remarkable it is. Consider this. In fact, one version says, be still and hold this concept in your hands about the love of God. Keep it before you. Jude 1:20 says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love. So the quality of God's love, behold what manner. It's the quality that we should become children of God. And now whenever you talk about Father, I know everybody has different experiences of their own earthly fathers. Some people have been abused. Some people have had a father who's a dictator, a boss, not a father, or an absent father. But this Father God, his whole manner is this love that he adopts us. I think anybody that adopts, and I know David and Alice, I know like Sam and Hannah, have adopted 3 kids, and they of you know they're not the biological parents, but they adopted those 3 boys and they love them. But how much more our Heavenly Father has adopted us into this family, the family we are family. He's adopted us, and he's lavished that great love on us. Think about it. You know, God's love is not soppy. It's not, oh, it's not soppy. It's not just, and it's not sloppy. It's not emotional, and it's not conditional. You think about it. We sing the song, the overcoming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Beautiful song. And sometimes we've got to pause. Think about what we're singing. Why is God's love reckless? Because he just gives it away, expecting nothing in return, no walls up, no like, okay, David, I'm going to love on you today, God says. I'm going to love on you. But actually, what if you reject me? Maybe not. That's not God's love. God says, no, I've lavished my love on you. I've lavishing my love on you. Not just on the day of salvation, every single day, every minute of every day. It's overwhelming, never ending. He's not expecting anything in return. not protecting himself. He's not guarded or suspicious. You know, sometimes when we've been hurt, we think, oh, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going there because I'm guarding my little heart. But God's love is so intense. And it's not just a theory. This is not just a theological topic. You know, it's not just something, oh, okay, let's just study this. No. It's personal. It's very personal. You often hear people say, don't take this personally. It means they're going to offend you. I speak this in love. Mm-hmm. Whoopsie. When someone says that, I'm like, oh, what's coming? But it is his love. Take it personally. It's very personal. It's very intimate. It's deeply intimate. God, you know, Psalm 139 says, if I make my heaven, my bed in heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. It doesn't matter where you go. You can't flee from him. He will never remove his love from you. Those with backslidden family, God will hunt them down. They can run from God, but they will never escape. They will never get away. They will come to their senses. They will come to their senses. And they will respond to the love of God. God's love is deeply intimate, never ending, never ceases, never fails. His love is certain, stable. I love the consistency of God. I love his consistency. He's always the same. He doesn't wake up on a Monday. Oh, it's Monday. Oh, you should have heard what they sang yesterday in church. Oh, my. No, he's like, oh, he doesn't wake up because he never slumbers or sleeps. Praise God. But he's always the same. He's consistent. We can trust him. We can trust him. Because of his great love, because of his consistency. You know, so when I think back, once we got through this big thing, this rock in our lives, and we are still navigating through it. Okay, this is not in a marriage, you know, please don't worry about us, okay? Our marriage is good, okay? It's not a marital issue. So praise God for that. I've got a godly husband and he's got a godly wife. So, but when, you know, after having going through 10 months of one of the most toughest seasons of my life, I'd done a lot of journaling and I wanted to find out, now, what exactly happened in my life? What was that all about? You know, and I'm going to go through my journal now, and I'm going to be able to say, this is what God did in my life. Guess what? I'm still clueless because I'm still journeying. I'm still on a journey. I'm still trying to unpick what I have learned. I've learned to trust him. I've learned, you know, we are Rhema graduates. Rhema. It's well known worldwide. Rhema Bible Training Center. It's word, faith. Speak the word. But I tell you what, this has taken us to a different level in trusting God, trusting Him. That even though we go through the storm, even though we go through the trial, I trust you. Why? Because of your great love. Because of your great love, you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake you. So I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you. Not a challenge. It's an encouragement. That if you're going through a trial, you're going through a storm, God is more interested in the process than the outcome. You don't know what to do. You don't know the way forward. Just stay close to Jesus. Just stay close to him. You know, Psalm 23 has been our go-to amongst others. But Psalm 23, the Bible says that he leads us beside still waters. He leads us into green pastures. And you think, woohoo, yes, please, Jesus. Thank you. I'll have me some of that. So he leads us. He's the good shepherd. But then how come I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. If God leads me, if God is the one guiding me, if he's my shepherd and he's the good shepherd, how come I went into the valley of the shadow of death? Because life is full of seasons. Because we are rooted and grounded. Our rhizomes go down deep into who he is. In who he is. Rooted and grounded. He leads me beside still waters. We can trust him in the darkest valleys too. What's the point of just having a God of the mountaintop? What about the valley? You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Unless you're you're not the youngest in the room right now. There's a couple of little kiddies sleeping. The adults are awake, praise God. But there's but we all go through seasons. We all go through storms. And we're not going to fall apart. You know, sometimes the seasons that we go through, the challenges we go through are brutal. They are brutal. But God, he's faithful. His compassion is over all his works. He's not a fair weather God. His love doesn't wax or wane. He's consistent. He's with us. We can trust him in the green pastures. We can trust him in the darkest valley. We can trust him. He prepares a place for us in the presence of our enemies. In the midst of it. In the midst of the doctor's report. In the midst of the financial crisis. In the midst of that marital breakdown. In the midst of it. He's preparing a place for you. Why? He's making a way of escape for you. Trust him. Trust him. Don't tell him what to do. I had a lot of advice for God during the last year. God, what you need to do is X, Y, Z. Guess what? He didn't need my advice. He got us through. He got us through. We never went to bed hungry. We never went, the sky didn't fall down. You know, praise God. He's faithful. But he's already making a way out of the situation that you might be in. And I've gone way over time. I have no idea what that clock says now. It's 11:45. But I just want to encourage you. Stay rooted and grounded in the love of God. Experience, get to know the love of God that exceeds knowledge. It passes knowledge. And become rooted and grounded in him. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every person who's listening to this today. That, Father God, they will come to know you. They will come to experience beyond knowledge your great love. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that even though we go through the valleys, even though we go through the storms, even though we face seasons, our lives are rooted and grounded in your great love. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Just while every head is bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around, nobody's walking around, I want to give everybody the opportunity to just, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is your day. And you might say, well, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean. What I mean is this, is that you might have done things wrong. In fact, you have done things wrong. And you want to try and make things right between you and God. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So what does that mean? That Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price for your sin. We were all separated from God, but Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for your sin and for mine. He took the punishment. He died. He was buried. He paid the full price for your sin. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And today, if you want to know this far-reaching, deeply intimate love of God, I want you to just say yes to Jesus. Would you slip your hand up if this is you for the first time? You want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. Father, I just thank you for every precious person here today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've paid the price for our sin. We receive you afresh today. We receive you afresh in our hearts today, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just want to speak your blessing over your people today. Lord Jesus, touch your children. Touch lives. Impact hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to let go of being entrenched in whatever's holding us behind. And we're going to lay hold of your great, intimate, wonderful love that you have for us. And we give you praise and we give you worship right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God.